to study His Word. And we thank God for those here and those watching online. Can you reduce it a bit? I feel it's quite loud. Praise God. Are we ready to study? Are we ready? Amen. We thank Pastor. Pastor is not here today. Pastor is at a retreat. And we thank God for his life. And we pray that where he is, he will encounter God in Jesus' name. We thank God for Lady Pastor as well. Tonight, I just want us to do a little bit of a study. Who can help us with the theme of the month? Who knows what the theme of the month is? Pleasant boundaries. Okay. Today, I just want us to look at. Let's start with John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered, waiting for the move of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. A man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Today, I just want to talk to us briefly, and I just want us to study briefly about self-limiting beliefs. And I want us to start by answering the question, what are self-limiting beliefs, or what are limiting beliefs? If I asked you today, or if I ask you now, what are your self-limiting beliefs? Probably 3/4 of us would deny that we have any self-limiting beliefs. Some of us will say we don't know what I'm talking about. So let's just go through the room. Can I get another mic? What are What are some of the self-limiting beliefs? What are some of your self-limiting beliefs? Can we just pass the mic? Who wants to help? What are self-limiting beliefs, and do you have any? I practically know everyone in this room, so I can pick on anyone. What are self-limiting beliefs? Let's start with definition. Well, it's a Bible study. Who wants to Google or who wants to tell us? Okay.
Self-limiting beliefs are beliefs that limit us.
Beliefs that limit us. Okay. Why are we laughing? He made an effort. Nobody agreed to take the mic, so. So what are thank you for that. What any other definition, any other person want to help?
I'm only trying. To me, self-limiting beliefs are the things that I have written myself off that I cannot do.
The things you cannot do. Okay.
And I've built that in my mind that it's not for me, I can't do it.
Okay. All right. Uncle Kinsley wants to help. Thank you for that, man.
Praise God. Self-limiting belief, a practical example for us. You don't apply for jobs because you feel because you had a color skin that you're not going to get a job. And then you'll be like, I'll never get a job here, so no need to try. I've limited myself.
Okay. Thank you for that. The passage we read, we see a very practical example of self-limiting beliefs, of a self-limiting belief. Jesus comes to a man who had been sick for 38 years, and Jesus asked him a question. So I want us to ask ourselves a question. I want us to answer those questions. For us, we must start with finding out what those self-limiting beliefs are. And for us to discover what those self-limiting beliefs are, we must first start by asking ourselves the question. Jesus came to the man, he asked him a question. He said, do you wish to get well? And tonight, Jesus is asking us a question, the same question. Because he has said to us, pleasant boundaries this season. In this season, there's a pleasant boundary. And in my little understanding of a boundary demarcates nations, demarcates neighborhoods, demarcates building, one building and another. A boundary could be what distinguishes one business from another. A boundary could be what differentiates one level and another. So there, if you go into the army or the police force or any of these organizations, there are the recruits or the rookies. Then you progress. There's a boundary that separates the new starter from the executive, that separates the executive from the manager, that separates the manager from the director, that separates the director from the shareholders. There are boundaries. Same as in school or any other sphere of life, there are boundaries. You start from one, there's a boundary, and that boundary could be an exam. You need to do an exam, an assessment, then you go to another level. So boundaries are significant because they mark out one level or one domain from another. So not just in organizations, in life, there's a clear line. God said he had put a line between light and darkness. And sometimes it's difficult for us to actually identify those boundaries. If I ask you a question, can you tell me the exact time we go from morning to evening? If I tell you what is the boundary line between morning and afternoon, you find that you actually struggle. You can guess, but you can't tell exactly. But you know that you've moved from today to tomorrow. If I ask you, when did you get to the height where you are now, physical height, can you tell me when you grew from a baby to where you are? You can tell me, yes, over years, but you struggle to tell me the exact time. So boundaries, God is telling us that in this season, there's going to be a shift, a transition. However, the struggle is with identifying when that transition happens or should happen. This man that had been sick, been in a certain level for 38 years, was about to get to a next level. But the man thought that over years, statistics had shown that it was when the water got stirred and an angel stirred the water and the first person to get in becomes healed. But on this fateful day, Jesus comes, the one greater than the angel, came in the form of an ordinary man. He didn't have the air of an angel. They just came ordinary. And he asked him a question. So if you're making notes, for you and I to identify the self-limiting beliefs, we must ask the right questions. We must ask ourselves the right questions. How long have we been in this position? How long are we going to remain here? What are my self-limiting beliefs? Because the man, Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Let's study the answer. Can we look at the answer the man gave? What did the man say? He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. There's no correlation to what Jesus asked him and what he answered. So if we're taking notes as well, you must answer the question that is asked. Don't be like somebody that was writing an exam and they said to him, he had actually prepared and, you know, prepared for the exam. And he was preparing, for those of you who know, he was, do you know the flower called the hibiscus flower? Do you know it? Hibiscus flower, okay. Okay, you don't know. So the guy had been reading about the hibiscus flower, studied the hibiscus flower, prepared, knew how to do it, knew how to label it. But he gets to the exam hall, they asked, write about the Agama lizard. And the guy thought and said, wow, this is not what I prepared for. So he now picked up his pen and wrote in his answer sheet, the examiner, please permit me to write about the Agama lizard that lives on the hibiscus flower. He was answering the wrong question. He was answering the wrong question. So tonight, when the Lord is going to ask you a question, or the question that the Lord is going to ask you, make sure you answer correctly. What are your self-limiting beliefs? Do you want to leave where you are today to where God and cross over the pleasant boundary into the next level that God wants to take us to? Do you want to progress? Do you want to see? where God is taking you to. So this man answered the wrong question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to become wealthy? Do you want to have peace? Do you want to experience the move of God? Do you want to be a blessing? What is it that you want? Do you want to get well? And the man, rather than saying yes or no, the man started answering the wrong question and said, I have no man. Which is usually our answer. When God encounters us, the first thing we say is what we don't have. The first answer we give is you and I begin to answer what we don't have. But the one who made the whole world is here present and asking us, do you want to cross from this level into the next level? And you will say what you don't have, answering the wrong question. So let's move on. Let's see another example of self-limiting beliefs. Let's see Psalm 78 and verse 9. Psalm 78 and verse 9. Psalm 78, verse 9. If you find it, please, can you do me the honor and can you just read it for us, please? Read verse 8 and 9 then. Okay, it's on the screen. Okay, oh, thank you. It's on the screen. Let's see verse 8. Verse 8. Let's see 7. Let's start from 7. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Verse 10, they did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. Can you imagine somebody who was armed for battle, who was ready for war, had his bow, had the equipment, had the right tools, but on the day of battle, turned back and ran away? What do you think their self-limiting belief was? Fear. This is how God views us when we run away from battle. You have the right CV, you have the right education, you have the right experience, encounter. You have everything that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus said, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. You have the angels, the host of heaven behind you. But we get in front of opportunities. We run away. We turn our back. There's a battle to be fought, yes. There's a battle to be fought that we have to fight. But the battle hasn't even started. We then turn our backs and we do what? We do a runner. We do what? We do a runner. To them, to us sometimes it feels, oh, like my brother said, oh, I can't do that job. No, I can't do it. No, I'm not qualified. No, I'm not the right height. No, I'm not the right. I don't have the right hair. No, I don't have the right dress. I don't have the right shoe. No, I don't have. We again go back to something similar this man said. We start making excuses. If you want to know what your self-limiting belief is, simply look at the excuses. What has been your excuse this season? Because to God, you have the right armory. You have everything. He's behind you. But you still turn back. You don't follow through. You are scared. You are afraid. Praise God. Praise God. So for us, it must start with us identifying what those self-limiting beliefs are. We must be sincere. We must be honest with ourselves and with God. Some of us is our background. I wasn't born in the right place. I wasn't born at the right time. Some of us is our age. I'm too old. I'm too young. What are the excuses that we have made in this season where God is telling us that there's a land in front of us? There are things that he wants to give us. That we need to engage and fight the good fight of faith. For David, he could have said, I don't have the right weapons. I'm not trained in the army. I don't have the right skill sets and qualification. I don't have anybody going with me. It was just him going to face this man who had more experience than him, who was taller than him, who had more support than him. Because if you remember, Goliath had somebody bearing his armor. What are the excuses that we have made and we are making when God has said to us, you are ready, you're equipped, I'm here to help you. Do you want to get well? Do you want to make progress? Do you want to be healed tonight? What is it that you want tonight? So it starts with us identifying what those self-limiting beliefs are. Because those self-limiting beliefs also limit God. Your self-limiting belief limits God. That's Psalm chapter 78. Verse 41. Let's look at Psalm 78:41. Remember, they turned back. Where we read in verse 9, said they did what? Talk to me. They did what? They turned back. Verse 41 says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you bring the King James? Can you pull up the King James for me? Yes, the King James says, yeah, they turned back. When you turn back, you are tempting God. They turned back, and by turning back, God regarded it as testing him. When you don't follow through, when you don't send that proposal, when you don't make that call, when you don't ask that question, when you don't preach the word, when you don't pray for that person, when you don't do that thing that God has equipped you for, you are tempting God. So it starts with first identifying what those limiting beliefs are. What are those things limiting you? And how do you identify your self-limiting beliefs? By asking the right questions, or allowing the Lord ask you those questions, and you and I being able to answer it correctly. What are you afraid of? So let's see what Jesus did about those self-limiting beliefs. Okay? Let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from twain. Bring the New King James. Let's go back to the New King James. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. 53. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. You have to understand what happened here. The veil, which was about 60 meters high, 30 meters wide, about an inch thick. Okay? Bible said that when Jesus gave up the ghost, that veil tore. It didn't tear from bottom up. It tore from the top down. What was the veil about? If you remember in Exodus, when God gave instructions for the tabernacle, the veil was what separated the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. It was what separated us from gaining access into the presence of God. And only one man could get into that holy, most holy place, and he did it once a year. And before he could do that, he had to be sanctified, he had to be cleansed, you had to tie a rope around his waist so that when he's going in, peradventure he doesn't come out because he could die in there. That was where God, the presence of God, dwelt. And scripture says our sin is what separates us. How did this sin come about? This sin came when Adam and Eve fell. They ate the fruit of the tree that God told of the knowledge of good and evil that God told them not to eat. And what happened when they ate it? Their eyes became open. But they died on that day. And what was the first thing that happened when they ate it? Who can tell me? What did they do? What happened when they ate it? They went into hiding. Yeah? What did you want to say?
They were naked.
They felt they were naked. But one of the first things that happened was fear entered them. So they were now afraid. So when the presence of God came, they were the ones that went into hiding. They hid from God. But the day Jesus paid the price with his life, something happened. That veil tore. God himself ripped it. Something that would take about 600 priests to handle. God, in that one second, tore it himself from top to the bottom. And what happened? Bible said you could see into the most holy place. God removed the demarcation. Now we had access. I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10. Or let's see Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8:23. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Jesus, God did not spare his son, but delivered him for everybody. Not some people. Not for the older people and not the younger people. He delivered his son Jesus for everybody in this room and outside this room watching online. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Again, I'm telling us, sharing with us, and reminding us what Jesus did. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. What Jesus did by paying the price on the cross and God himself tearing that wall of partition, that veil, is so that you and I can have boldness, access into what? The most holy place. Let's see verse 20. That's same Hebrews chapter 10. 19 and 20. Let's see 19 and 20. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy, into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, bring verse 20. We can enter into the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. So what God did by tearing that veil from top to bottom was significant. It was significant in that the body of Jesus was broken, bruised, and battered. You need to understand what happened to his body. And it wasn't just for show. It was a price being paid that you and I, that we are running away from God when we heard his voice in the wilderness, in the garden, can come boldly, come out of hiding, come out of fear, into the most holy place of God. The veil tearing, God tearing that was significant. Saying to every one of us who has been running, who has been turning their back on that thing that God believes you can do. What he's saying is that the veil has been torn and you can now come. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We're studying together. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us come boldly. Let us come out of our hiding place, out of our shells, out of our excuses. Let us come boldly, not because of our own righteousness, but because the body of Jesus has been battered, the veil has been torn, that we can have access to the throne of grace, to the most holy place, that we might find mercy and help in time of need. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, through whom also we have access. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Through whom We have access. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Access. Access. Ephesians 3, 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Friends, Jesus' death on the cross gives us access into the most holy place. The death of Christ gives us access into the grace room, into the throne room of God. I'm talking about the way Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My question to us then is, if we've identified what these self-limiting beliefs are, if we've been able to identify what these excuses are, and we've seen what Jesus did on the cross, my question to us is, what are we going to do? What are you and I going to do? Because he has set the boundary of the whole world. And what would give you access into the throne room of God, into the most holy place, into the realm of possibilities, into the realm of healing, into the realm of eternal life, into the realm of the supernatural, has been made available. Anyone can cross over. Anyone can access. You have access. Each and every one of us is the message I'm bringing to us tonight. We all have access. Jesus is not going to tear the veil again. It's already been torn. You can see into the most holy place, but you can see and not enter. Moses saw the promised land. Moses saw the opportunity. Moses saw the promise of God that was spoken 430 years beforehand, but he could not enter. Tonight, I want you to answer the question, what are those things and how are you going to deal with them? Because the access has been provided. The doorway has been swung open. You can receive your healing. It's available. We can receive the breakthrough. We can receive everything that pertains to life and godliness. You have not received the spirit that is of fear, but of boldness of a sound mind. Or are you going to say like that man, I have no man to put me into the water? You are depending on people to help you get you into the water. You are depending on man to give you a recommendation. You are depending on man to find your self-worth and your confidence. You are depending on man. Jesus said to the man, do you want to get well? Do you want to come out of poverty? Do you want to live not from hand to mouth? Do you want to live in divine health? Do you want to experience the power of God? But he was still dependent on encounter with angels when the one who made the heaven and earth was there present. And Jesus, do you realize that Jesus did not take him and put him into the water? He was looking for a man. He was hoping that Jesus will carry him and throw him into the water. He was expecting that that day the water will be stirred. But Jesus only gave him a word. Gave him an instruction. And the man followed through on the instruction. As I conclude, a few things will happen here tonight. One of the things that will happen here tonight is that some of us will go home the same way we came. As tragic as that may sound, as disappointing as that may sound, because Scripture said that when Jesus came, he came to a congregation of people that were lame, people that were sick, that had many problems. And I asked him a question. I said, Jesus, the Bible says that you knew that this man had been in this same position for 38 years. How come you did not say to him, when you first met him, get up and walk? Why did you have to ask him a question? Like I said, the question reveals, your excuses reveal your self-limiting beliefs. Jesus had to deal with that first, because if he didn't deal with it, that man would never have been healed. What is that thing that has tarried so long? You and I must be able tonight to answer that question. What are those your excuses? I'll give you an example. I see you and I say to you, maybe I call you prof. The first thing you say is, no, I'm not a prof. I see you and I say, oh, you're a millionaire. You say, no. I say, you are blessed. You say, no, we are still struggling. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth says the self-limiting beliefs. Your attitude shows your self-limiting beliefs. As the Holy Spirit is asking us questions tonight, can we be sincere and answer? This man, Jesus asked him something else. He talked about something else. What are your self-limiting beliefs? What are those things causing you to turn back in the battlefield? On your job? What are those things that have stopped you, caused you to be stuck on that job? What are those fears? What are you afraid of? The things you do and say, what are they, really show what you are afraid of, you and I are afraid of. What are you really afraid of? You never try because you are afraid of failing. You never do anything because you don't want to fail. You don't want to do it because people will laugh at you. Your self-limiting belief is that people will laugh at you. What will people say? How would they view me? No one has ever done it in my house. I don't have what it takes. Can we be sincere with the Holy Spirit tonight as we pray. The veil has been torn. Jesus has died and resurrected. What happened on that day broke open the grave. And people that we are dead, destinies that we are dead, opportunities that we are dead, potentials that we are dead, came out of the grave, manifested. When they heard, Bible said they heard the voice in the grave and they got up. He said the same spirit that quickened Jesus, if that same spirit being you, he will quicken your mortal body. The same spirit hit those believers in the grave and they got up. Friends, Jesus sent his word and he brought out destinies that had been buried. The question is, do you realize that it wasn't everybody that came out of the grave? Some people, Bible said they will hear the voice in the last day in Revelation. The dead in Christ will hear the voice and they will come out. Some of us tonight are hearing the voice of God saying, you have turned back long enough. Come out. Come out of the grave. Come out of obscurity. Come out of mediocrity. Come out of your excuses. And life will enter you. But some remained in the grave. You can be healed tonight. You can live here debt-free. To him that believes all things are possible. You can live here doing the impossible. The veil has been torn. It will never be mended again. It has been torn. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can access the most holy place except through him. Why not answer Jesus? What are your self-limiting beliefs? What are you afraid of? They were armed for battle. Their CV was okay. But they still didn't apply. They had the idea, but they never executed it. They had the phone, but they never made that call. They had opportunity, they never asked. There's a pleasant boundary. God has set life in front of us. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. We magnify you. Can we just pray in the Holy Spirit for some time? Lipana telebrene zato shata. Lipana tokuri banatili brana zato shata. Jesus says, stop trusting in men. Don't trust in the help of man, for the help of vain is the help of man. I want to help you. You are telling me you are looking at the help of man. I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want to take you to a pleasant land. I want to bring you to the wealthy place. The scripture says in the psalm, he brings you to a wealthy place. He crosses the boundary of poverty into wealth. I want to bring you from sickness into divine health, into divine life. I want to bring you from torture and torment and depression into abundant joy. I want to bring you from worry and anxiety into the place of confidence in the Lord. I want to bring you, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. The leper said, if we go there at least, let before they kill us, we'll have some food to eat. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. And he walked upon the water. He did the impossible. possible. But the other 11 stayed in the boat. Friends, don't stay in the boat tonight. Why not step out and step into your abundance? Why not step out and step into your confidence? You have access. Why not step out and try? Why not step into the promised land? The children of Ephraim, ready for battle, but turned back. And by turning back, they limited God. They limited God. They limited God. Friends, do you know when you see the opportunity and you don't apply, you are limiting God. You are saying, God, you can't do it. Lord, you can't do it. When you see that funding and you don't apply for that funding, that scholarship, you are saying, God, I'm limiting you. When you see that tender and you don't go for it, you are saying, God, you can't do it. You limit what God can do. You limit God showing off with your life. When you remain in that place, you limit God moving. You limit the cloud of glory. You limit God. You limit the hand of God. You limit the hand of God. God wants to do something remarkable in this season. Do you want to get well? You are spiritualizing it. You are rigmaroling. You are answering like a politician. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to leave this place and go to the next place? You are answering. You are dilly-dallying. You are trying to construct the answer. Yes, was the simple answer. Don't think about how Jesus is going to do it. Just answer yes. I want a new job. Don't spiritualize. I want that investment. I want the land. Lord, I want to win that soul. I want to get into that place. Simple, yes. Friends, what are you saying yes to? Father, we thank you. We give you praise tonight. Lord, your word says, he that observes the weather will never sow. Lord, we've observed for a long time. We've observed the water being stirred. We've observed other people getting there before us. But Lord, we have also noted that you are here present. That the veil has been torn. That we have access and boldness to come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help. Your help, not the help of people, but your help. Lord, tonight I pray that you help us. Lord, deal with the pride in us that doesn't want to receive your help. Lord, have mercy upon our trusting in the arm of flesh. Lord, we will step out of the boat and we will step on our high places. Lord, we will try, we will apply, we will ask the question. We will email, we will call, we will appear, we will show up. Lord, we will turn up. Lord, we will preach. We will lay hands on them. We will prophesy. We will speak alive. We will speak what you said. Father, we thank you. Be thou exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Is there any